Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the lesson just read. One of the stimulating aspects of preaching in chapel is submitting to the dean's pericopal selection. I don't know which ancient pericopal system places this passage from Matthew 19 on this day in the Epiphany season, but as I reflected on it, it struck me that this particular gathering, symposia attendees, probably exhibits the lowest divorce rate, not only in the culture at large, but within the church's culture. And lest we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, the immediate thought also occurred that this points not to our virtue, but to God's rich and infinite mercy in bestowing extraordinarily long-suffering and heroic Christian women upon those who attend here. But to our texts, there is widespread agreement that our Lord takes a very strict view, not only by the casual standards of our day, but by the flexible practice of rabbinic tradition in his own day. The Jewish scholar Safri suggests that while the school of Shammai was a bit more cautious, nonetheless, the practice of the people was almost completely dominated by the school of Hillel, which he says allowed divorce for almost any reason. But note how Jesus grounds and bases his instruction and admonition by an appeal to the Torah story of man and woman's creation. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. In the very nature of God's created order, Jesus sees the warrant and the requirement for lifelong monogamous living. There is in this, I would suggest, an implicit portrait of God's character and what our character is to be in his image. God's character is consistent, trustworthy, reliable, faithful. This has direct implications. Jesus could hardly put it more starkly. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. But here's the rub, isn't it? It's the rub for you, it's the rub for me. For every son and daughter of Adam and Eve, we long, according to our nature, to be other than what God has made us. We felt restless with being in his image, and we long to make ourselves in our own way. And so, as Luther's phrase so poignantly captures, incurvatus se, we turn inward on ourselves and away from God and away from spouses. How often haven't you pastors heard it said, I'm different now than I was when we were married? Or, he's different. She's different. We can't keep our promises any longer, nor can we think of suffering for others because we've willfully endeavored to seek only self. The dominant narrative in our culture, in fact, suggests that we are continually remaking ourselves, and so relax if after 2 years or 2 months or 2 weeks, your spouse isn't right for you, you are free to go to another. But of course, this dominant narrative eventually reveals itself. Look at the lives filled with pain, suffering, and loss. Finally, the soul that turns into self loses self. And the move to self-definition, self-absorption, empties the soul and brings death and darkness. Not so in the narrative Jesus points to. Here there is significance, for God is the good creator, and marriage is the estate that he has established, for it is not good for the man to dwell alone. And the narrative of the Creator continues here in Matthew. Here is the Son of God who has set his face towards Jerusalem to reverse the curse that lies on all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, and upon you and upon me. Indeed, Matthew begins his gospel in a Torah-like way. The genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. We must put down our pens. To script our own narrative and define who we are is death. Death for us, death for our marriages, death for all. Rather, Matthew's pen, inspired by the Holy Spirit, scripts your story and mine. It is the story of Jesus. Israel reduced to one as he appears as God's son, goes down to Egypt, spends 40 days in the wilderness, and lives a life of perfect obedience to his heavenly Father. It is no accident that Matthew orders his gospel in a fivefold fashion. Here is the narrative that restores every son and daughter of Adam to God, as Jesus Christ, the seed of Eve, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, restores us and frees us from self by his holy and atoning death on Calvary. You became the subject of this script in your baptism when the floods of his grace join you to Jesus' death and resurrection. Moreover, you were named in this script at that moment when you were baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Further, the absolving and nurturing voice of Jesus through his prophets and apostles has addressed you and continues to define you. Here is the story, the narrative, the drama that is true. It is whole and it is forever, for it is life in Christ, who is victorious and resurrected and living at the Father's right hand. Only he can script life for you now and life for you eternally. And he has done it by his grace. And water and word are joined to wine and bread. This is my body. This is my blood. Your walk from font to altar is a clear testimony to God's infinite grace and mercy in Christ. You and I, of ourselves, could not take a step from font to altar. Indeed, right now, we are held in his grace as greatly as we were held at our baptism by our sponsors. And we will continually be held, and our life's episode written by him who carries us in his arms and who forgives daily and who nurtures and cares for in all things, including our marriages. Rejoice. God is scripting your life in Christ, and it is a good and an abundant life, for he has promised, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Such is our gift. And in that abundant life, may the prayer of our hymn remain our prayer through this day. Awaken, Lord, our spirit to know and love you more, in faith to stand unshaken, in spirit to adore, that we through this world moving, each glimpse of heaven proving, may reap its fullness there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.